You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Well, at least Mike Brennan, Matt Rausch, that darn day job of him has gotten away again, and those people at LTU made him work today, so you got me. I have calling in, though. I have Teresa Mask. We've had on the show numerous times before from AT&T. How you doing, Teresa?
I'm well. Thanks for having me again.
Sure. And actually, this is something I went and took a look at last week during the MCWT Foundation event, IT Executive Forum. And it's the It Can Wait program that you guys are doing, which is an anti-driver distraction program. In other words, keep your eyes focused on the road and not on the telephone, right?
That's exactly right.
All right, why don't you tell us
keep
a little bit.
Keep your hands on the wheel, not on your phone.
There you go. I like that. I drive a lot, and I can almost tell when I'm driving behind someone who's on their cell phone because they're weaving all over. Speed's going up and down. And clearly, I can see one hand is glued to the side of their head. Now, a lot of states have hands-free as mandatory now, and I've been hoping Michigan would follow that lead, but so far, no good. Do you think that's going to happen?
There's still some talk about it, so we'll see. We would support that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's talk a little bit about it. Go ahead.
You were asking about the campaign, and
Yes. Really,
it's what you said. You know, you see those people driving on the road, and they're bobbing and weaving, and it's very, very dangerous. And every year, thousands of people are killed because of that behavior. Hundreds of others are injured. And so what the It Can Wait campaign does is we go around the country, and we just try to educate people about the dangers of this behavior. You know, when we started, it used to be just don't text and drive. But over the years, we've evolved to distracted driving. So we don't want people not only texting and driving, we don't want them posting to Facebook. We don't want them looking at their email while they're driving. Anything that requires them to be manually using their phones while they're driving, we do not want them to do. You know, our motto is no post, no selfie, no Instagram feed, you know, is worth a life or a life of someone else, you know.
Right. And at this event last week, there was a road show that you guys are putting on that involved VR headgear, which I put on and sat there and went through, I don't know how many minutes it was, but several minutes. And it was a simulation movie-like performance on where you showed what happened with distracted driving. You interviewed victims of distracted driving, those people who got involved in accidents, and some quite seriously. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Mike, so you experienced it, so hopefully you saw how powerful it is. So this year, we're taking our It Can Wait VR experience tour on the road. We're going to 200 stops across the country. Last week, as you mentioned, we were in Michigan. We were at the Capitol in Lansing. We were on Fox 2 in Southfield. We were at the conference you mentioned in Detroit and at the Arts Festival in Grand Rapids. And the point is to get as many people as we can to sit in this simulator, so to speak. It's a VR goggles. You put it on your eyes and you have the listening device so you can hear what's going on. And we want them to experience texting and driving. So when you have this on your head, you can see what happens when you just take a glance. You crash most often. You hear stories from people who are victims of distracted driving crashes. And the whole goal is to use technology to spread this message. And we're constantly trying to, up our game when it comes to how we present the message. And we thought through virtual reality would be a good way to tell the story, especially to younger drivers.
And what kind of a reception are you getting with this road show?
Yeah, most of the times people, well, first of all, they want to know if it's gory, because some people don't want to do it if they're going to see, you know, blood and gore. But to me, that question goes to the heart of they understand what could happen if you drive distracted. You could crash and, you know, it could be a pretty gory scene. So we want to prevent that. But when people finish it, they often tell us, whoa, that was powerful. Oh my gosh, yes, this is a serious problem. And then we encourage them to take the pledge to not text and drive, not to drive distracted. We have more than 25 million people so far who have pledged not to do so. And so this last week, we got about 150 more in Michigan who took the pledge. They will not drive distracted. And we hope they keep that pledge.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the roadshow, I know, was going on to other points in the East. In fact, if you want to see...
Yes, I think he was headed to Pennsylvania next.
Right.
We have two drivers. One kind of handles the East and one kind of handles the West. They do a bunch of different stops. You know, sometimes they're at schools. Sometimes they're at Chamber of Commerce's, city halls. It's wherever we can go that people embrace... you know, us coming in to tell the story. There's so many different avenues to get the message out there. And we keep telling people, this is a message for everybody. It's not just for the teen driver. It's for the driver who's been, you know, driving for 30 years. It does not hurt to hear this story again. And one of the things we've learned just in our research is that people who tell someone not to drive distracted when they're in the car with them, there's a 57% higher chance that people won't drive distracted if a loved one asks them not to.
Oh. Well, probably the situation that was 90% of the cars on the road are single persons in there, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So you don't have someone in your ear, right?
Yeah. The people behind you, yeah, you know, yeah. So that's one of the reasons why it's important for us to get that message to everyone. So even if you don't have someone telling you, you've heard it too. So you can make that decision on your own, that's for sure.
And so AT&T is doing this because...
We're doing it because we want to save lives, Mike. You know, we have been doing this since 2010. That's when we kind of officially launched our program. You know, it was a simple but a vital message for wireless users. You know, we want people to use their technology responsibly. You know, we obviously want them to buy our smartphones, but we want them to be responsible in the car when they have it. And so, like I said, since 2010, we've been out there kind of encouraging people to heed this message. And along the way, we've been asking others to join us in the fight. And most of the wireless carriers now, I believe, are on board. You know, we have lots of city councils who have made proclamations about distracted driving. So it's a message that we're getting out there. And it's one that's really important. We're not going to slow down with trying to encourage people to stop driving distracted. It's a really important issue.
Do you have any sort of figures on how many accidents and or injuries or deaths are related to distracted driving? Do you know?
Yeah, the figures that we have is that there's thousands each year, people who've died from distracted driving, and it has surpassed drinking and driving. Hmm. So that shows you the magnitude of this problem. Hundreds others are you know, injured each year because of it. And that's one of the reasons why we have that element in the program where you hear people who are victims of distracted driving who have their stories to tell. It's important for you to hear from those people. Another aspect that we included this year was we ran a series of ads that ran in movie theaters and online. You can actually go to itcanwait.com and see this. We had some forensic scientists who pulled together some people who've died as a result of distracted driving, and they have made their faces of what their face would look like now, and their families are telling the stories of what they thought would have been this person's life.
Wow.
It's really sad, and it's very, very powerful. So if you want to go check that out on itcanwait.com, that's another important aspect of this campaign.
So let me ask you a couple other questions related to this. As I mentioned earlier, some states are now requiring hands-free so that it has to go through your car's speaker system for, you know, your stereo or whatever you have in there. But not a lot of states have done that yet. Even if you're doing it where you're not actually having the cell phone up to your ear or you're looking at it and you're just talking, do you still view that as distracted driving?
You know, you mentioned the state. So we support, you know, state efforts to prohibit drivers from using handheld wireless devices to manually engage in text-based communication.
Right.
We talk about it in terms of using your fingers, you know, to kind of check your device for whatever reason. But we have a couple options. You know, I don't know if you've heard of our Drive Mode app. We have that, which is an app that you can download. It's actually free, and actually it comes preloaded on most phones these days, iOS and Android. And it basically allows you to silence incoming alerts and phone calls, because that's really what happens. People get the alert, they hear the ding, and then they feel compelled to answer it. But this Drive Mode app automatically replies to text messages with a message that you can kind of customize. You know, you can say, I'm on the road, or, you know, I'll call you when I get to the store, or whatever it is. And it's just one of the options that we give for encouraging people not to drive distracted. And also, if you go to any of our stores, we have, for instance, what I use is a mount that goes on my dashboard, because I am directionally challenged. And so I need Waze everywhere I go. And so I am able to put in the destination that I'm going into Waze, and then I plop the phone onto the mount. So I don't have to touch my phone at all. So obviously that's one way that people are using their phones in the car. It's up there, and then I'm having voice commands that are telling me, you know, where to turn and what to do. But our focus really is on, you know, when people are using the device manually, to kind of, you know, check email and check Facebook and all of that. We really want to people not to do that.
I notice sometimes when I'm sitting at a traffic light, I'll look at my rear view mirror at the cars behind me, and I see them looking down. So it's pretty clear. I don't think they're contemplating their navel, so it's pretty clear they're probably looking at their smartphone, right?
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm not in that situation, but I've been in that situation, right, where I've been behind someone, or, you know, the light turns and then there's a delay before the person goes.
Right.
And so we do know, often when I see it most is when I'm a passenger in a car and I look to the right, and there's someone texting or, you know, looking at themselves, taking a selfie or whatever. It's just so dangerous. And it's just something that the thing about this campaign is that this is an action that is avoidable. You know, you don't have to be in the car taking pictures or taking videos on the road. So it's one of those things that it's absolutely avoidable. And that's why we really are trying to encourage people to stop doing it.
Okay. We got about 2 minutes left. And anything else going on with AT&T we should alert people to, either in this area or not?
Wow. There's always some stuff going on. Right now, what I'm promoting is Father's Day. I'm doing a segment coming up on Father's Day technology. So if you're looking for that great tech item for dad, there's so many options, from smartphones to watches that you don't even have to have your phone nearby to answer. You can answer right from your S3 Gear watch. There's the vent mounts that I talked about. Go out and get dad something that they can use so they don't have to drive distracted on the road. Plenty of headphones. There's Google Home, personal assistants. There's so many things that dads can do. Another thing that's coming up is National Selfie Month, which is National Selfie Day, which is June 21st. So we have some great phones that take great pictures, because people aren't carrying around cameras anymore, you know, so get a great smartphone to do the job.
All right. So why don't you give those various website addresses for folks to look up the It Can Wait campaign and how they can buy all this great merchandise?
For sure. First of all, please go to itcanwait.com. Take the pledge to not drive distracted. As I said, no post, no text is worth your life or the life of someone else. So itcanwait.com. That's also the place where you can go and look at the videos that I talked about that kind of give the perspective of families who've lost loved ones to distracted driving, and the forensic scientist that has done those interesting recreations of what these deceased people would look like these days. And then AT&T.com, of course, if you're looking for some great technology to buy.
For Father's Day or beyond, right?
That's exactly right.
Okay, cool. Well, that was Teresa Maskin. She's with AT&T here in Michigan. You've been listening to M Squared TechCast on the Podcast Detroit Network. We'll be right back.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan. We're back with our second segment. We have with us calling in, I think from somewhere around the Lansing area, Jeff Cranson with the Michigan Department of Transportation. How you doing today, Jeff?
Good, Mike. How are you?
Great. What we're going to be talking about is late last week, the governor was up at the Mackinac Conference, obviously in Mackinac City, put on every year by the Detroit Regional Chamber. And up there, he announced the $8 million Michigan Mobility Challenge Grant Initiative. And the thrust of this is to address these core mobility gaps for seniors, persons with disabilities, and other veterans across the state. So, Jeff, why don't you tell us a little bit about this? Give us some more details on exactly what this initiative is.
Yeah, so Mike, as you know, when the governor took office in 2011, he put a major emphasis on transportation infrastructure and transportation needs across the state. And one of the things that he talked about then was the need for better transit options. He took high-speed rail money to enhance our rail service, passenger rail service from Chicago to Detroit. And he also did a lot to encourage things in terms of transit, you know, buses, public transportation. And this is kind of an extension of that. He thinks that, and everybody will tell you, that we've got an aging population in Michigan, and mobility for all means offering choice and freedom to people who are aging or people with disabilities, and it is often overlapped there with veterans too. As you know, having mobility means making choices and being able to go where you want to go when you want to go. Any of us that have had to face that terrible decision to take away a parent's keys, have those kinds of painful conversations. Opening up options that will provide mobility door to door, the first mile that you hear a lot about, as it is now, a lot of transit systems don't necessarily take care of you all the way to your doorstep, either your place of work, your home, your office, or the store. So all of this is aimed at incentivizing transit operators, private companies, startups, anybody with ideas. The idea is to incentivize innovation, come up with ideas for mobility, personal mobility, things that can help us get around and help people that might not have the same options that you and I do now.
Well, and I'm pretty sure this also would include autonomous and connected vehicles, things like that, right? If they can come up with the great ideas in that area, you guys would be willing to take a look at that?
Well, yeah, there would definitely be some overlap there. I mean, as you know, now there are some autonomous shuttles. As a matter of fact, University of Michigan today launched theirs at M City,
right,
touring around campus. So, yeah, those kinds of a shuttle that could come to your door, you climb in and it takes you where you need to with no driver in sight. Definitely, that's going to be part of it. That's part of the innovation. That's the technology that's being encouraged. And those are the kinds of startups that I think you're going to see putting in the proposals. Today is actually the day that the requests for proposals are going out.
Ah, okay. Well, good timing on that. You used the Mackinac Conference to do this, or the governor did anyway. Was it a very high-profile kind of event? Was that what that was about?
Well, you know, the governor actually kind of hatched this plan a couple months ago. Like I said, it fits very much with what he's been talking about in terms of transportation, investing in better transportation, better options for everybody. So he and the director of the Michigan Department of Transportation, Kirk Steidel, sort of came up with this idea of the mobility challenge and tasked people within MDOT to make it happen. So Gene Rustman, administrator in our passenger section, really shepherded this thing through, created workshops to see what kind of interest there was among potential participants, and they held it in Metro Detroit last week, and there was actually a great deal of interest. So based on that, the governor decided to go ahead and announce it at the Mackinac Policy Conference, and it was a very well attended media conference. I mean, all the media that's up on the island anyway for the conference was there, and the coverage was very good, and I think it indicated that there's a lot of interest. I think that it really gets your attention when you think, maybe right now this isn't me, but when you start thinking about your parents or your grandparents, you know, and you someday, and, you know, having better options if you can't drive, or if you know somebody with disabilities, I think it really resonated with a lot of people that hadn't thought about it previously. So the coverage was very good. It was rolled out at the conference, in a media conference with the governor and the director of Michigan Department of Transportation and the CEO of the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, and the vice president of MEDC, who's in charge of Planet M, which I'm sure you're very familiar with, because you've talked to Trevor quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all being done under that Planet M umbrella. It's one more thing that we want to do to be the mobility leaders in the country.
So mass transit, I know, around the state is not particularly good. In Grand Rapids, they a couple of years ago, they built a line that goes way out to the suburbs and then downtown Grand Rapids, so that one's not bad. In Detroit, we have the Q line. That's about it. Doesn't really go that far. I know there's a lot of talk about wanting to extend that, but there's resistance by Oakland County and others. It's not what you're thinking is a giant bus going down the street kind of thing. You're thinking of more individualized, or say a vehicle that could handle a small number of people, maybe something along those lines.
Yeah, I think that you framed it correctly. This is looking more at serving kind of individual passenger needs. It would be a supplement, and it could be that those big transit operators, whether it's SMART or eventually, you know, an operating RTA in Southeast Michigan, or certainly the Rapid in Grand Rapids, or the services that are operating in other cities across the state, they could all come up with some innovation, or perhaps partner with somebody in a startup opportunity and figure out a way to make this work. But it could be part of that broader network. I mean, you're right. The first bus rapid transit system in the state was launched in Grand Rapids, and that goes down south from downtown, serving the biggest employers in Grand Rapids, you know, Spectrum Health and the other hospitals, all the way down south division.
Oh, yeah.
And the next one is going to go out to Grand Valley, which is a very popular line with lots of ridership. So that'll be another BRT, or bus rapid transit. There's talk about doing that in Detroit eventually, and feeding to the Q line. I mean, the Q line in itself was never intended to be, you know, the only form of transit, but if it can feed BRT, bus rapid transit, on the other end, then it's a connectivity issue. And I think that all these things hold promise, and this would just be one more component of that. I mean, mobility is going to be evolving. As you mentioned, automated vehicles are going to be a factor in all of these things, and perhaps in busing overall. So the governor's idea is let's identify innovations to serve these needs.
Yeah, I actually appear on the Internet Advisor on WJR, and they selected this particular topic to discuss last Saturday. So when I brought up the $8 million figure, the comments were, gee, that isn't very much money. And I go, well, yeah, but it's not meant to fund the whole thing. It's meant to fund pilot projects. And I'm looking at your press release. These are, what, 3 to 6 month pilot projects, right?
Yeah. And again, that's what innovation takes. It takes pilots, it takes experimentation, and, you know, it takes something to incentivize people to maybe take a shot at something, give them some seed money and see what kind of ideas can be born out of that.
Now, the RFP, when does that close? How long do they have to submit?
You know, I don't know that, Mike. That's a good question. They're putting it out today. And I would have to check back with our folks to see how long that window is going to be.
Probably at least this month, I would assume, right? You know, because
that sounds about right. Yes.
Take a while to get these together, and then they'll have to vet them down and whatnot, and then sometime this fall we'll know who's getting the money. Do you think is probably how it's going to work?
Yes, I do. I think that timeline that you described is about right.
Okay. So, again, I wasn't at the Mackinac Conference. I don't know what kind of a reception this got. Was it well received?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot of interest. The media had not really plugged into it before, but they had a lot of good questions and wanted to know how it would work and where it could be applicable. And obviously, it isn't just an urban thing. I mean, we talked about Grand Rapids and Detroit, but there's a lot of rural areas. I mean, that's where, you know, we especially have aging populations. and they have needs in terms of transportation. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what might come out of there and some of the rural, you know, vast stretches of Michigan that are underserved in terms of transit, in terms of mobility options. So, yeah, I think there was tremendous interest. I mean, we'll find out as the RFPs are picked up and the proposals start to roll in. But I'm optimistic that there's going to be a lot of interest in this, and that it's something other states are going to be watching. You know, the whole idea of Planet M, as you well know, is that Michigan has to be the mobility leader. I mean, we put the world on wheels, as everybody likes to say, and it's true. And it's still a big part of our economy, and it's a big part of what we do. And that kind of engineering talent and that kind of background for mobility is going to be part of that going forward.
Now, are there maximum amounts of money that, for instance, you got $8 million? Is that like a couple hundred thousand dollars is the max, and you're going to then do, you know, say 30 of these or something?
Well, that's not specified, but I suspect that's how it will play out. Yes, I think that there'll be different grants for different amounts depending on the ideas. Definitely,
yeah.
It's not a one size fits all. And the idea is going to be to look for variety and innovation, right? I mean, you're going to want to do, you know, pilots and the experiment needs to feature variety.
Right. So. Would something like, say, Uber or Lyft or something along those lines, would those qualify as something that could apply? Or is that outside the scope?
Those are the kind of companies that could feasibly, I think, anybody that's operating something now, or just has been dreaming about something, you know, just maybe drafting something out on their computer, working on something in their garage. I think, you know, any and all are the kinds of, I mean, I think these proposals could come from all over the place.
And are we allowing them to come from out of the state or just in state?
It could be. Absolutely. I think that in terms of participation in the workshop, there were people from out of state that expressed interest in it.
Of course, with all the autonomous testing going on within the state of Michigan, a lot of those folks, particularly the California ones, are already here, right? You know, so.
Well, that's true. There are, yeah, that's the this is looked at. I mean, there's a lot of talent from other states and other countries even looking at the opportunities because of what we've got with M City and with the American Center for Mobility.
Mm-hmm.
By staking our ground on that infrastructure and those facilities for testing and operating, it definitely gives us a leg up.
Okay. Why don't you give them that information now where they can go online to find the RFP?
So the best thing to do would be, because it's a very long URL, I would say just Google Michigan Mobility Challenge, and you'll get there right away.
Okay. And again, you'll have more details on there, such as when the RFP closes and things like that. I'm assuming they'll be putting that up. Might even be up there right now.
That'll
right?
all be there. Yeah. In fact, the news will be out later today with all of that, but that will be that'll be online. You can find it on the Michigan Department of Transportation site. But like I said, it's a crazy long URL, and you'd be better off just putting in Michigan Mobility Challenge into your search engine, getting those details that way.
Okay, sounds great. Well, that's Jeff Cranson from the Michigan Department of Transportation, who's been talking about the $8 million Michigan Mobility Challenge Initiative, which was announced last week by the governor at the Mackinac Conference. And you've been listening to M Squared TechCast on the Podcast Detroit Network. We'll be right back.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan, and Matt's not with me today. He's doing LTU stuff. Sometimes that day job gets in the way, but we let him do it. You know, I'm not going to fire him or nothing. So, no, I'm just kidding. So we have with us calling in Terry Bean from Motor City Connect, and he wears so many hats. But that's his main hat he's wearing, but he's always up to something. What are you up to these days, Terry?
You know what? The hats are important. When you got hair like I do, you wear hats to reduce the shine, man. That's important stuff.
Yes.
So you got to mix it up.
Low cranial coverage, they call that, right? So
that's it. And a six head.
Yeah.
No, but you know what? I'm just kind of going through the world here in Detroit and looking at all the cool things that are coming up. And, you know, I don't know if you've had the deep conversation about all the goodness that Startup Detroit brings to town, but that's high on my list of things that I'm thinking about right now because it's coming up in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So have you had some guests on talk about all the goodness that they're bringing to the table?
I should probably bring Monica Wheat on, or at least have her call in, right?
You should have Monica Wheat call in indeed. I would think that would be a great place to start. So, you know, it's because she's I think we're T minus 10 days or so, if I'm not mistaken.
No kidding.
So, yeah, get Monica engaged and involved. She'll be able to tell you all the cool stuff that's going on in town here. And I think it's a conversation that your audience would enjoy having.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of conversations and big ideas worth spreading, which is a choppy segue, TEDx Detroit is coming back for year number 10. Going to be doing that on September 26th at, oh my goodness, why can't I think of what it's called now?
It's the
Masonic Temple.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I'm sorry. I kept thinking of Freemasons, and I'm like, it's not Freemasons, but it kind of is.
Well,
Masonic
Temple. Right. Freemasons. Right, the Freemasons are part of the Masonic Temple, but yeah, it's the Masonic Temple theater area, I would think, right? You know, there's like 1,000 rooms in that place. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think it's the largest Masonic Temple in the world, and I forget if it's 1,160 or 1,060, but it's ridiculous. And we're going to have some really cool tours going on throughout the day, and I'm working on putting together the single biggest pre-party we've ever had for a TEDx. And I think if we do it right, we're going to take over that same joint, man. So we'll have about 36 straight hours of fun and entertainment going on in that building, which will be fairly interesting.
So that means you're
excited about that.
So you're going to put bunks in there so people can sleep over then or what?
Someone's going to be sleeping there. I don't know who, but someone should. There's got to be all kinds of ghosts in that place too, man. You know, you saw the way that thing was built. It's like 13 stories high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody didn't make it. It had to be rough back in the day.
Well, there's on the very top or near the very top, there's a roller rink where, you know, the old roller derby kind of boys and girls kind of thing. There's one of those way up top somewhere.
Yep. We took a nice stroll through that. I'm sure that'll be on part of the tour. We actually went in and saw the unfinished swimming pool that they have up on the 9th or 10th floor too, man.
Right.
Like, what? Why would you put a swimming pool way up there, man? That doesn't seem like a good idea.
No. It seems like all that weight would be a bad idea, right? I'm not sure how old it is, but I think it's at least a century old.
It's closing in on it. I think it's. I think it was the mid-20s that it was built. Work and completed anyway. Yeah. And it was because of the crash of 1929 that they stopped doing a lot of the completion of it. So there's a whole nother giant auditorium that never got finished up on the top floor, which mm-hmm. has some amazing views. So it's an interesting place with a ton of history. In some of the oldest elevators into the city of Detroit. I learned this the other day from our friend Ben Rosenzweig. Elevator license numbers are done in order of when they were received. So if you're in an elevator that's numbered 96, that means there's only 95 older elevators than it in the area.
Ooh, that's kind of scary, huh?
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, I would like elevator 10,000 or above, please.
Yeah, that's the old gag about good to the last drop, right? So.
I see what you did there, Mike Brenner.
That was good. Yes, yeah. Or what do you get when the elevator door is open and there's no elevator? You get the shaft. I'm here all week.
You get the shaft. Yeah. That's it. Try the veal, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Try the veal. Hey, that's not bad, man. I don't have a slew of elevator chokes. I'm going to have to work on it. They've just been going down ever since.
Yep. So Motor City Connect, I know you have it in Royal Oak on Tuesdays, and I'm tied up on Tuesday mornings in Ann Arbor, so I don't get a chance to get to those. But why don't you talk a little bit about what happens at Motor City Connect? Was it the third or fourth Tuesday of the month? When is that?
It's the fourth Tuesday of the month. I'm actually sitting here in Ferndale right now where I'm looking at moving Motor City Connect headquarters to. Mm-hmm. And if we pull that off, we'll be moving the meetings from Royal Oak to this Ferndale location for a couple of reasons. One, I'm surrounded by ample free parking, and people love those things.
Yep.
And two, it'll be a nice mix in the dietary staples. Instead of just stir fry, we'll be bringing in there's a lunch cart building not too far from here that serves a bunch of those mobile trucks going out, food trucks. And Detroit Fleet, I believe it is. And so we're going to leverage some of that. And I am a huge fan, and this isn't a plug, this is just the truth. I'm a huge fan of the Little Caesars deep dish pizza. So I'll make sure that there's always some of that floating around here too, because I think a lot of us got burnt out on that $5 Little Caesars pizza and didn't try the deep dish, and those who didn't are missing out, man. So we're going to have a little bit of that going on, but this space is cool. It's got room for a nice little stand-up conversation and discussion. So if we're doing the lecture part of Motor City Connect, it's got a bunch of spots for people to sit and dine and join together and break bread together, which is a big part. You know, Motor City Connect's all about three things. It's about empowering the individual so they can grow their business, so we can work together on our community. And that's a nice segue. One of the other things that we're going to be doing this year is we're going to be partnering up with John George again this summer and going out and boarding up some houses in Northwest Detroit in that Brightmoor area. So he's got a real strong goal to finish up. He turns 60 this year. Blightbusters turns 30 this year, and Artist Village turns 10 this year, all at the end of this month. So there's going to be a heck of a party in that old Redford area. If you've ever been to the old Redford Theater, it's going to go down right next door to that, probably this last weekend of June. So we're going to work together and go out and beautify Detroit a little bit, because that's always a fun way to spend time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also know, since I get all your feeds, that you're teaching again, or at least you're offering seminars. So what's up with that? What's happening with those?
Yeah, you know, I've got a class coming up here on June 20th on networking. We're going to do that at Oakland County at their offices. There's a social media class coming up there in August. And then I'm going to be filling in the blanks again here in Ferndale, with lots of different opportunities to learn, not only from myself, but some of my friends. I hosted a very secret-y meeting the other day where we all had masks on, to talk about kind of building a training facility here, and potential speakers bureau, which is kind of exciting. And I'm looking forward to that. I love the idea of giving folks the opportunity and the tools and the knowledge they need to grow their business on a regular basis, and that we've got this facility where we can leverage that to do this. So, you know, it's interesting for me. Ferndale is a far cry from where I live in White Lake. So I'm going to have to keep some kind of goofy hours, because I'm not trying to sit at 696 with the rest of you, right? I want to be on the lake when you guys are in traffic, and I don't mind being at work while you're at home, but I want to not be sitting on 696 watching taillights. You get that every Monday, right? Is that part of the reason you guys moved the show an hour earlier? You want to get back to Ann Arbor before the rush hour?
That's precisely it. It was 2 hours going back, and I left the Bay Area because I couldn't stand, and Seattle because I couldn't stand bumper-to-bumper traffic. So, yes, when you forget about it because I try to pick my – when I come into the city, so I don't do it during the morning or the afternoon rush hours, but sometimes it happens. And when you have a show that ends at 4, you're right in the heart of it. So, yeah, we moved it from 3 to 4 to 2 to 3, and it makes my life much simpler.
I looked at that, and I was like, why would they – never mind. I know exactly why they did. Good for you, man. Good for you, because it's no fun sitting there in traffic. Oh. I don't care how many phone calls you make and who you're talking to. There's just other ways to spend time.
There certainly are. Life is short. You want to spend it in traffic, right? So,
yes, sir.
Hey, let's.
Yes, sir. So good. Yeah, good.
Let's talk a little bit about any kind of cool social media trends you want to share right now. I mean, it's constantly evolving. What do you see as the hot stuff right now?
You know, and I don't know that it's cool, but I'll tell you what, it is definitely a trend. The amount of people that I'm seeing pick up on LinkedIn right now, mm-hmm. and kind of jump back into that tool and that technology, mm-hmm. is pretty staggering. Now, granted, I'm probably a little bit biased, but because I spend more time there than probably anywhere else, but I'm seeing a lot of people making that jump too. I think a lot of us have Facebook fatigue. And they're tired of the BS, you're tired of the politics, you're tired of the arguing, mm-hmm. and you still, Facebook's still 30% personal, 30% business, 70% personal, whereas LinkedIn's almost all business, so they're getting a lot of traction there. And the one thing that LinkedIn is encouraging and rewarding people for is putting video up on LinkedIn. I'm posting videos on LinkedIn right now, and I'm getting, on a bad video, I'll get 800 views in a couple of days.
No kidding.
Right? As opposed to a couple of weeks to get that kind of video, or in a few bucks to get that kind of view on my Facebook page. So if you're in the B2B space, and I know most of you tech folks are, you definitely have to be spending more time on LinkedIn. So that's a big one. And the other one that I'm seeing a lot of traction on and have been for a while is Instagram. So I've been paying a lot more attention to that. There's some really cool tips and techniques on how to leverage Instagram if you haven't. In fact, Janet E. Johnson, my podcast partner, and I did a post not too long ago. We did an entire podcast on Instagram with a lady named Jen Herman, and Jen's an Instagram master, and she breaks this tool down in real easy ways. I'll have to figure out how to get you the link, Mike, so you can drop it in the show notes or whatever so people can find it. There's a ton of value in that.
You should maybe teach a class on how to use LinkedIn for business, because a lot of people really don't, you know, they post stuff up there, but they don't, beyond that, they don't really know what to do with it.
I teach a bunch of classes, and I allow people to hire me to come in and teach classes specific for their company. So if there's a bell right there, you should ding that sucker, because that was about as shameless of a self-promotion as you'll ever hear out of me. But it definitely was one.
Okay. I've just been signaled by Jess. Hopefully it's the correct signal. One finger, but it's a good finger, meaning that we have 1 minute left. So sometimes I piss her off when I get the other finger. But so how do people reach out to you, Terry? You, Mr. Mobile Terry, how do they find you? What's the best way?
The easiest way to connect with me is to go to trybean.com, and you get links to my entire world right there. You know, so whether it's Business Growth Time and the podcast, or what's going on at Motor City Connect, or my email newsletter, all that stuff comes out of that one location.
Okay. Well, that's Terry Bean, man of mystery, who wears many hats to cover his bald head. Sorry.
That's right. That's right.
But mostly Motor City Connect, but he's also involved in so many other things. Check him out at trybean.com, and I would highly encourage that. Old friend of mine really knows his stuff. You've been listening to M Squared TechCast on the Podcast Detroit Network, and we'll be right back.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan. Matt Rausch is out doing LTU stuff this afternoon, so it's just me and Jess in the studio, one of those days. And we have calling in Rob Ponto from Comcast. And how you doing today, Rob?
Hey, Mike. Great. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on today.
Sure. Well, I saw the TV ads before I got the press release, but it's the Xfinity X5 Pods. I think the TV ad is some father, and then the little girl asks him what the Wi-Fi password is and all that jazz. I understand what it is. Why don't you explain to the folks what X5 Pods are? How do they work?
Absolutely. So as you know all too well, we are living in the era of the digital connected home, and Wi-Fi is the oxygen for the digital home. It's estimated by 2020 that families are going to have up to 50 devices connected in to their in-home Wi-Fi.
Wow.
And also, families are now building and living in larger homes with really unique layouts. And they're also constructed with some materials that can sometimes disrupt Wi-Fi coverage in some rooms. So our Comcast Gateway devices are really powerful, but sometimes in these larger homes, the Wi-Fi signal may need a boost to reach those far-flung spaces. So we developed these X5 pods to help extend the Wi-Fi coverage throughout the home. And they work as like a seamless mesh Wi-Fi network.
And from what I've seen, they essentially just plug into electrical outlet, right?
Exactly. So they're hexagon shaped, they're white, and they're plastic, and they can be easily plugged into any electrical outlet, and they pair with our X5 wireless gateway. They're cloud-based, and they're managed on a remote platform. Through them, you can evaluate the Wi-Fi environment to ensure every device in your home is using the ideal bands and Wi-Fi channels. And they also self-monitor their performance. So they're really, really cool, and they really help to make sure that the Wi-Fi in your home is connecting every device it should. I mean, you know, we depend on Wi-Fi for home automation, for streaming, for home security, all those different type of things. You want to make sure it's working properly in every room, and that's what these pods help do.
And the modem/router then would have all the security in it to make sure everything's cool to keep the bad guys out, right?
Correct. That is correct.
Okay. So is that an extra charge for that, or does that come along with your box?
Well, most homes won't need something like this. Like I said, these are for larger homes that have unique layouts. You can get X5 pods in a 3-pack for $119, or you can buy a 6-pack for $199 plus shipping and handling. And they're easy to get your hands on. All you have to do is go to Xfinity.com/X5 pods and order them there. Or you can visit one of our Xfinity retail stores in Michigan, and they will have them there. Later in the year, we're going to introduce a monthly payment plan to make it easier to get hold of these things.
Yeah, well, $200 might be a little stiff for some people right now. So that would be a good thing, right?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So what else? I'm going to give you a chance now to just shamelessly plug Comcast. So what else do you guys got going on right now besides these X5 pods?
Well, just more on in-home Wi-Fi. We were talking about the pods, but if your house doesn't need does it need something like this? We want to make sure that your Wi-Fi is really working to its optimal level. There are a couple like tips you can just diagnose through your home to make sure that's happening. And the first one is location. You want to make sure that when you have your Wi-Fi router installed, or if you're moving it around, that it's in the middle of your home. You want to treat it like a lamp, you know, so that the signal is shining throughout the entire home in an even fashion. You don't want to put it under the stairs or in a far off bedroom where all the Wi-Fi will be concentrated in that area, or even out the window if it's next to a window. So you want to make sure it's in the middle of your house to optimize the signal, and also interference. You don't want to put your router in the kitchen near the microwave or near a cordless phone or anywhere like that, because sometimes those devices will make much not needed interference for your Wi-Fi network. So you just want to make sure before you order pods or, you know, anything like that, you want to test to make sure that everything's set up properly in your home.
Yeah, I'm in a condo, and I have the router pretty much right in the middle of the second floor. I think I'm in pretty good shape there, because it's very vertical. It's not spread out horizontally. So when you're thinking of these X-Fi pods, it'd be like for these big 3,000-4,000 square foot houses, things like that.
Absolutely. Especially ones that have a lot of marble, that's a hindrance to Wi-Fi signal. Some other things are fish tanks. If you have a large fish tank, really? The Wi-Fi cannot go through the water. Mm-hmm. So just keep in mind, if you're installing a router, not to have it near Nemo, because you won't be able to get Wi-Fi all over, through the house.
So it sounds like a 4,000 square foot home with a lot of marble sounds like Rob Pando's home, right? So not the
exactly,
case, huh?
No, but
Michelle's
no,
not paying
no.
you that much. We'll have to talk to Michelle about this, right? So
not yet. Please do. I invite you to do that. That'd be great.
Okay, I'll ping her this afternoon. Anything else going on really cool with Comcast? Now, you guys are always up to stuff. I mean, is there any great programming coming up on Xfinity we should alert folks to?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, with our X1 platform that pretty much most of our customers have now, we've launched some new things on there. We're kind of like an aggregator service now with X1. You can get YouTube through X1, NPR, iHeartRadio. You can access all your Netflix accounts through there. And also, we just announced last week that you can buy movie tickets through Fandango through X1. So that's just another way we're trying to make X1 the aggregator of aggregators. So just adding more value that way. And also, in 2 weeks, World Cup is coming up.
Mm.
And if you remember back in February, you spoke with Vito Forlenza at our corporate office about X1 and all the cool stuff we did for the Winter Olympics.
Right.
We're doing the same thing for World Cup. So we'll have an X1 dashboard with updated match scores, schedules, highlights, viral videos, everything in Spanish and in English this time around. And also the X1 Sports app on X1 will have tons of stats, cumulative and live, by player, by team, by tournament leaders, group standings, knockout bracket, anything you could want for the soccer fan will be on X1 for the World Cup.
Are there a lot of soccer fans in the U.S.? I must admit, I did not grow up in the soccer environment. So are there a lot of people that are really interested in that here?
There are a lot of immigrants. There are a lot of millennials now that have grown up playing soccer as probably the primary sport. And with NBC Sports Network broadcasting English Premier League, and with soccer more readily available on any network, really, but especially on our network, there are a lot of soccer fans. Probably not as much for this World Cup if the U.S. didn't make it this time, but these world stars now are pretty much household names in the U.S. So I think there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on the tournament this time around.
Okay. And what about higher speeds now? I know you've been rolling out higher speeds around the state. Where do we stand on that?
Yeah. So back in April, we launched 1 gig internet service, completed our work for this year. We launched in Lansing and Grand Rapids. Jackson, Southeast Michigan, Ann Arbor, and Holland. So if you're a Comcast customer in those areas, you have access to 1 gigabit per second internet speed.
That's pretty fast. So
that's something that we're really proud of, yeah.
And I know that's a higher charge on that, obviously, right?
It is, and really you want to look at it as an investment in the future, like 4 or 5 years from now, when customers have all these devices, like I had mentioned before, in their home, mm-hmm. all these new gadgets. You're going to want to have something, you know, and it really fast internet speed to power everything. And it might cost $20 to $40 more per month than what you're paying now. People now don't really need it, but there are a lot of early adopters, and there are a lot of people who do a lot of work from home that might want it now. And right now it's available to them in Michigan.
Okay. So what else is going on with Comcast? We got about 4 or 5 minutes here, but I'll go ahead and give you a chance to talk update, because we don't get you on the show that often. What else is happening?
X5 still. As we talked about the X5 pods.
Mm-hmm.
X5 is something that's very popular with parents and to manage their in-home Wi-Fi. A little while ago, we talked about how to manage your in-home Wi-Fi network, and that's what this thing does. You can access it through the X5 app. You can access it through a laptop or on your X1 guide on your TV. And what you can do is you can pause Wi-Fi to any device that it's connected to in the home. So if you have children and it's time for dinner, and people aren't coming when you ring the dinner bell, you can actually pause the Wi-Fi to those devices because you can set up accounts for every person in the home. And that usually gets, I know it gets my kids' attention when their Wi-Fi goes off and they can't access their device. So that's pretty cool. There's also Safe Search. We've added some parental controls to be used through the in-home Wi-Fi. We have Google Safe Search, Bing Safe Search, and also the YouTube restricted mode. So kids can't get their hands on any inappropriate content when they're on the in-home Wi-Fi network.
Sure.
So X5 has been something very successful for us this year.
What about your security product? I've noticed a lot of ads for that. Is that selling well?
It is selling well. A lot of people are into home automation. Security is great, and we do a good job with those products. But, you know, if you think about it, what's coming up? It's schools letting out, and it's going to be people getting on the road off doing some road trips, some vacations. So you want to make sure that your home is secure, and you want to make sure that people don't know that you're not home. So home automation, home security is a great way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can keep track of what's going on at home through an app on your phone. You can set cameras up in your house or outside your house to make sure that everything's going okay. You can always peek in whether you're on the beach or in a museum, you always know what's going on. You can flick your lights on or off anytime you want from this mobile app to give the appearance that you are home. And also you can also control the climate in your home while you're out on vacation. There's nothing worse coming home than coming home to a really hot house during summer vacation. So maybe when you're an hour out on your drive from home, you can go to your app and turn on your air conditioning to make sure you come home to a nice, comfortable, cool environment after your vacation. So security and home automation has really been a great product for us. And again, it's the digital home, and Wi-Fi is powering all of these things. So it's just it's a great time to work for a company that provides all these things and a great customer experience. So,
yeah, I travel quite a bit. I'll have to check into your security product, although I live in a condo area, and you know, lots of eyes around there. You can't get away with very much at where I live because somebody is watching all the time, right? You know, not big brother,
right.
but lots of little brothers, you know? So, but certainly I like the idea of being able to flick the lights on and off and control the AC or in the wintertime, or which is mostly what it is in winter in Michigan, it seems like these days, turn the heat up or down or whatever the case may be.
The cool thing with this is sometimes it'll recognize your patterns. So during the work week, when you leave, it will turn the heat down in the winter, and it'll know that sometime that usually when you get home at 5:30, 6 o'clock, that you turn it up, turn the heat up. So, mm-hmm. It'll follow those patterns and it'll actually manage that for you, which
wow.
is pretty neat.
That sounds great. All right. So yeah. Where do people go to find all this magical kinds of stuff that Comcast offers?
Okay. Well, we would love people to visit our Xfinity stores in Michigan. We launched these a couple of years ago, and they're great ways to demo our products and to talk to someone face to face, which I think people really like doing. So we invite people to come to our Xfinity stores. You can, pretty much any community has those. You can call us at 1-800-COMCAST. We can help you there. And also you can go to Xfinity.net and ping us there. It's a whole suite of ways to get a hold of us.
Okay, that's Rob Ponto from Comcast here in Michigan. You've been listening to M Squared TechCast on the Podcast Detroit Network. Great show today. We'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.